You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Okay, we're talking about productivity. We're talking about change. Let's find out who Dr. Victor Tan is. You've written a lot of books about change management.
Yes.
But give us a little background about Dr. Victor Tan.
Okay, first of all, I have this passion about change. So I've been in this line for the last 25 years. I'm not just a corporate trainer and consultant, and also I'm also an enthusiast for change, because I believe organizations and individuals can change. And when we define change here, we're talking about positive and productive change, because a lot of people look at change very negatively. And that's where this work about change management comes in, getting people to see the positive side of change and also the productive and result-driven part of change.
You've been also in the banking sector for a good part of your life. Why be specific with change management?
Okay, in fact, I started my career in banking, in public bank, in this corporate planning, and it's got a lot to do with change as well. So, change cut across various industries. It's not just banking, it could be manufacturing, and it cut across all functions. But then I started in banking. I thought it's a good place to start, because in banking, one of the great ingredients they teach you is integrity. And if you want to talk about change, perhaps a good value to start with is integrity, because with integrity comes credibility. People can believe you as a leader. People can believe you as a change agent if you have integrity about what you're going to do in terms of change.
And before we get into talking about change, you've also written a book called The Secret of Change. And from what I understand, it's a unique book, because it's a change management book where you have written poems and verses that rhymes. Why this unconventional way of writing a book?
Okay, first, Patrick, I must tell you that I've written 8 other books on change. Change the Win, Changing Mindset, Releasing Trapped Mind, Changing Your Corporate Culture, and so on. And I thought, why not write a book that's distinguishable and easy for people to understand and also accept? Reason why, because already change management as a topic itself is hard. So I thought if you can choose a format, a form that is palatable, acceptable, and why not in poetic form, and especially today's environment, young people like music, they like poetic verses and things that they can relate to, something softer. Yeah. So I thought this is unique, and this is probably the first book in the world, a change management book that comes in poems,
Everybody wants to take credit for the first this and first that, but it's good to at least have something that has substance. You've written 8 books about change management. Is it so diverse, change, that you've got to look at it at so many different aspects?
Well, first of all, change is an ongoing thing, and it's evergreen, And there is no limit to the various aspects that we can cover. For example, in today's environment, I'm looking in the area what's called unprecedented change. Unprecedented change means change that we've never seen before, in a scale we've never seen before, in a nature we've never seen before. For example, the global financial meltdown is something we've never seen before since the Depression 1929. And in fact, this is going to be a bigger scale. And this change not just cut across countries, but industries, corporation is global. And things like this becomes very important. Certainly, we cannot say we have learned everything about change. A scale like this comes as unprecedented change, and we have to deal with it in a more increasingly, speedily, impactful manner.
And Dr. Tan, while you add that point about, this current financial crisis that's unprecedented, and it cuts across many lines, as you say.
Yes.
But in Malaysia, we've suffered this about 10 years ago.
Right.
And we've taken measures, and looking at in comparison with banks in the US, in Europe, and compare our own banking industry here, we are in better form because we have changed 10 years ago. Would it be fair to say that maybe it's going to cut across lines? We cannot insulate ourselves, but we are in better state.
Well, I would agree on one point that yes, we've been to a crisis. In fact, we've been to many crises before 97, 1987. We are, in fact, we learned the lessons of, how to deal with change. But 2008 and 2009, I think it's going to be much different, because the Asian financial crisis, 97, is in Asia. But this global financial meltdown, it cuts across the world, and it has tremendous impact and scale that have never been seen before And many predict it will be even greater than the Asian financial crisis because this is global, right? And it would never before seen so many insurance company or banks goes down so far, so quick. We never see Dow Jones drop 600 points in a day. This is unprecedented. And this kind of change requires a new way of looking at it, thinking strategies, and we are working with various groups that cut across countries, regions, and so on.
Okay.
So it's not just by industry.
Since we're talking at great length about change, we've heard it from politicians right up to captains of industries, and of course, more recently with Barack Obama. Basically, that was his campaign.
His
campaign theme, change. But looking at from an organization's point of view, people who are in business professionals, how important is change, and how do we know the signs are there that it's time for change? What are the signs?
Okay, one of the great irony of change is that when you start to look for signs that are clear and obvious, it's often too late, too little, you know. In fact, the right time to change is when you are at your peak, when you're successful, when you are at the top, you know, because the number one enemy of success is complacency.
But that also is an effect to contradict saying that, you know, if it isn't broken, why fix it?
Yes, if it's not broken, why fix it? Yeah, that's in fact, that's the status quo. That's the resistance to change, you know. Sometimes change requires you to reinvent yourself. Change requires you to, look at yourself, look at some of the critical success factors that make you successful, because those are the very factors that may pull you down, because as industry change, as the environment change, those factors that once were provide you the competitive advantage now would be the one that brings you down, you know. So one of the areas that organization can look at change is first looking at impact. What are the things that has impact on their organization? For example, an economy, political environment, the social environment, the climate, global climate change may also affect some organization today because of the regulations industry, toxic wastes, greenhouse gases, and so on. So all those things come to bear. If organizations wait till the last minute, I think they're going to find themselves at disadvantage because they are not prepared for those processes and to enable them to survive increasing regulations.
So in short, what you're saying is being observant and vigilant about external forces that could have an impact on the business.
Precisely.
Okay.
And that's one. That means that level you are basically reacting to change, you are adapting to change. Now, the other level I think organizations should do to contain, to sustain their performance is to lead change. In other words, before something happens, why don't they lead that change? Why don't they invent a new product? Why don't they start a new process so that they can continue to capture the market share? For example, you look at companies like Microsoft. The reason they are successful is because they are industry leaders. They come out with products that capture the marketplace. They are in areas where it's called a blue ocean, where nobody's there. And that's 100% market share. And Dell, for example, starts with a new approach of selling computers direct, where nobody done that before. So they capture the market share. So things like that, they are leading the change. They are not adapting to change. But of course, there are some areas that are within your control. You can lead the change, but some are beyond your control. For example, a global financial meltdown, you have to adapt to change. You've got to prepare for change. And one critical area today, if you want to prepare for change for the global financial meltdown, a good acronym to start with is CPR. That's cost productivity review.
Oh, okay. I thought companies need to attach some devices on them.
Okay.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's cost
productivity review.
Okay.
Now, reason I mentioned cost productivity review because most of the time organizations will focus on cost. They'll start to cut down, they'll start to retrench, and you can cut to the point, you cut to the bone, and the company just collapse, become hollow. But if you are looking at cost at the same time, ensuring productivity doesn't drop, and then you have a competitive advantage in terms of cost compared to the others, and you can survive and perhaps do better than before. Right. And that is the way to look at preparing for change for difficult times.
Give us a case study, because you've been doing this for quite some time. In a Malaysian context, successful companies that have applied change and unsuccessful companies that did not even anticipate change.
Okay, we work in an Asian environment, so I'll give you an Asian organization, which is less sensitive. We work with a company in Jakarta, listed in Stock Exchange of Jakarta and also Surabaya. It's Sumarekon Agong. And when we were invited to be a consultant to do organization change, they were operating this company for the last 20 years, very successful. The challenge is they face is that they would like to be more successful and sustain their success because people become complacent. And one of the things that we do is to start with this organization change readiness survey, which is done anonymously. And in the survey, we found out that a lot of people are not ready for change. And it proved to be true that, for example, a lot of they show data that are show improvement compared to previous years. For example, they are growing at 10%, 12% in terms of the industry. But the industries are growing at 15%, but they are growing at 10 to 12%. So we are telling them that you are not growing fast enough. You are losing your market share despite that you're growing against yourself, but you are losing out to competitors. So when you show them statistics like this, we show them that their growth actually dropped compared to competitors, and then we reduce that resistance to change, you know, things like that. And of course, we get them to see the value of that change by introducing new processes that enable the job to be done faster. We did a organization change review and to shorten certain processes and, you know, in their system, to deliver their services faster at a lower cost. And all this come to bear to show result improvement between 20%, 25%. And that reinforced that their view that change is good, not just for the organization, but for them as an employee, because they get to go back early, they got to do their job faster, more efficient, and it's transparent to the top people, and they can be rewarded accordingly.
Right? Okay. Unsuccessful stories.
Okay, one of the most difficult challenge, I think, is government organizations. And a lot of the leaders who run government organization, public sectors, have great intention. They want to change the organization. But the problem is the policies, you know. Sometimes they have great ideas, great system, but the policies stick out like a sore thumb that goes against the change they're trying to implement. For example, you can introduce computer system, automation, and so on. But the policies on decision-making is so bureaucratic. It needs to go to so many levels. Despite that, it could be a touch button to make a decision. But this could not be done or executed because of the bureaucracy in policy. And so in terms of the system, computer is first class. But in terms of decision-making, because it's bureaucratic, and that's behind.
To get the system in place, the system itself fails the intention.
That's right. I mean, you can automate the thing. You can automate to make it faster. But if the policy has not changed, that will not help.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. You're listening to BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Is it time for companies now to look at change, reevaluate their business model, their operation procedures?
Yes, I think precisely. I think companies should be looking at change even long ago, before this impending crisis that is hanging like a dark cloud over us in this global financial meltdown. It is time to look at a lot of things from the operation point of view, from their process, from new markets, new products, and also risk level. I think a lot of companies, if one of the lessons that we learned from the Asian financial crisis and crisis before, is a lot of time companies become too bullish, too arrogant, and they are seduced by the success, and they become so, they take risks that are uncalculated. They have become so biased towards action that the risk that they take may be too dangerous for the company, and one wrong investment could bring down the company. They are so vulnerable. So it is time company look at some of the areas where they have exposed themselves too much in terms of strategic vulnerability, in terms of the risk that they take that will make them uncomfortable. We can see that what happens in the subprime mortgage loan in the U.S. market, because
right,
people are so bullish, and they have gone into an area of risk that is too high for them to sustain in the times of crisis.
Okay. In an organization, normally the leader calls for change.
Right.
The head of the company, the CEO, the MD calls for change.
Right.
But sometimes its interpretation of change is very vague, and the message not cut across right up to the frontliners. Because we've all been through this before. My boss says change. We've got to change.
Yes.
We've got to improve. We've got to change. But there are no details and specifics about change.
Right.
What do leaders need to do when they call for change?
Okay.
What are steps and measures leaders need to do?
Okay, one of the things is that in our program, we have a very specific steps on how to undertake change. We have these 7 steps for individuals, leaders to undertake change. Now, the first step, of course, is to anticipate the change. You know, you cannot go about change if you don't anticipate it. Because if you are, you know, always reacting to change, then I will say you are not managing change. You are basically managing a crisis. So first requirement is anticipate change. You need to look at the environment, the various aspects of the external environment, the external change drivers. And then you have to identify the change within the organization that you need to undertake to counter those trends externally. For example, a global financial meltdown certainly required to do to prepare to manage your risk, to look at overexposure, to make sure you have a contingency and so on. Now, step number three, of course, is to sell the change. That means you got to promote it, you know. You have to look at change as a product, as you know, it's not something that you push it. You know, you have to sell the cross idea of change, the benefits of that change. Why should we look at cost productivity review? You know, it's relevant. Why should we look at relook at our process or risks? So we have to sell that change to get people to accept it. And that's step number three. Step number four is, of course, you got to mobilize resources. Most of the time, people like to implement change, but they don't allow time for people to plan for the change, to come for training, to build a skill, the competency, to do an analysis of what's happening in the operation, to look at areas they need to change. So you need to allow that in step four, mobilizing resources for change. And step number five, of course, is to break down those comfort zones that has been built up over the years because of success, because there's been reinforced, especially if you are number one in the market. You are, you know, you are written up in the industry journal, and people begin to think they are good. You have to break down those comfort zones.
And you have a cabinet full of trophies and awards and certificates.
Precisely. And of course, step number six is reinforcing some change success. If you implement change, you cannot expect till the end of the project to reinforce success, because along the way, people would have given up in terms of morale, in terms of commitment. So every step along the way, you got to reinforce it. And to reinforce it doesn't mean in terms of money, in terms of morale support, you know, in terms of encouragement, a good word, and appreciation from the leaders who implement those change, involving those in the team. And a constant reinforcement of, you know, motivation is important. And of course, step number seven, change is not a destination, so you need to do continuous learning and change. Change is a process. You cannot look at change to say that we have arrived, we have looked into the risks, we have looked at the products and customers, and that's it. Don't worry till the next crisis comes. No, it's a continuous process and continuous learning, because things around change fast. You got to adapt to it as fast as it comes, right?
It's like the old adage, it's not the destination, but it's the journey.
Yeah, it's the journey, yeah.
Just so as you continuously go, if it rains, you know, you put on a raincoat. If it's dry, you need to wear, you know, cooler clothes.
Yes, that's the thing about change. You've got to be adaptable, resilient, and you've got to be positive and productive about it, right?
Okay, now that's looking at top-bottom. Mm-hmm. Now let's look at bottom-up. Once a leader has called for change and has detailed areas of change, how does an individual in an organization adapt to the change, accept the change and adapt to it?
Okay, that's an easier, I think, scenario where the leaders have already agreed to that change.
But perhaps, is it as simple as if you don't follow, out you go?
Yeah, perhaps I will put a more difficult situation in from my experience, Patrick, is that when the leaders have not started the change, and then people bottom start to have to initiate the change because they are in the operations, right? So maybe we look at a scenario where the leaders have not started the change, but now you need to start from the ground. How do you start a change from bottom up? Would that be a good way to look at it?
Yes, true. Okay. I mean, can an individual effect change in a company?
That'll be more difficult and a challenging area to discuss rather than top down. Top down, just taking instruction. Yeah. So bottom up, how do you do it? In my book, The Secret of Change, touch on this area that an individual is not powerless, is not helpless, its situation is not hopeless. You must believe that every individual, you know, at whatever level, have that power to change within your area. And if it's outside area, you can use influence. You can use your enthusiasm, your passion, your expertise to influence others. And I always say that if you depend on resources, whether in terms of money, machine, material, manpower, or your, you know, authority, it is limited. But if you depend on, you know, your influence is limitless, you know. So you can influence anybody, you can influence a minister, you can influence the king, you can influence. But if you, based on the authority, you report to the next person, you know. Mm-hmm. So you just can, you know, only do so much. So the idea of getting people from bottom to change is that you use an influence and you start with the area of things that you can do. My favorite statement is, do not let the things you cannot do prevent you from doing the things you can do. So start with things you can do and start your influence and start there all the way up.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.